Ryan Rashaga joins us. Shaga, how are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. Down in Calgary, getting set for Game 3 tomorrow night as the Flames look for some sort of flicker of life in this series.
Yeah, well, something tells me with the emotion in the building tomorrow night, the first 20 minutes will likely be the Flames' best of the series so far.
I think that's probably fair. I mean, home has been their respite all year long. The faithful here in Calgary are pretty—they're pretty loud. So you know what? And I thought Calgary did a better job in that second game. Like the second half of that game, and it was still close. I mean, Anaheim was only a 1-0 lead, and Calgary really was carrying a lot of the play. So I thought they did a better job in Game 2, and at least probably left Anaheim feeling like, okay, we can at least play with that team for now. Like we can at least play with them. Whereas after Game 1, I mean, it wasn't even close.
No. Game 1 wasn't close. Game 2, sure that, you know, the second and third period Flames were a little bit better in that one. And if it wasn't for Romo, the game likely would have been 3 or 4-0 in the first period. The Ducks' size in this series has really been a big difference at times, I've noticed as well.
Well, in particular on the Flames D, like they don't have any kind of size in their top four on the back end, right? I mean, Giordano's not in the lineup. You know, Derek Englund plays, but he's a third pairing guy, and Anaheim's big forwards just run roughshod over him in the offensive zone, and it's pretty obvious, right? They need somebody that can throw some guys around, and they need that guy to be a 21, 22 minute a night guy, like a big, good shutdown defenseman who can still make a pass or two. And they don't have that guy in their lineup anywhere, and it really shows. I mean, there's no cycle breakers. And that's a problem because Anaheim handles it so well. They throw it around so quickly between those big forwards. And if they're not coming at you with all kinds of size, they got all kinds of speed on their other lines too. So they're just a really good team. And Calgary's defense is, they're overmatched. And they're scrambling and trying to catch their breath. But it's the difference in the series right now. I mean, if Calgary had a decor that could physically at least do a little better job of handling those forwards, it would be closer. But to me, it's just a difference in the series.
Yeah, that Mark Giordano guy, they really seem to miss him right now.
I know. And the thing about Giordano, like, I was talking to a few of their players today. I came to Calgary here. The team flew into a private terminal at the airport, so we interviewed a few guys, and I was talking to a few guys. And, like, they missed Giordano for sure. And the thing about Giordano is that he plays so many minutes, but he allows everybody else to just do what they're supposed to be doing, right? So Mark Giordano allows TJ Brody to just do what TJ Brody does. Whereas right now, TJ Brody is trying to do a little of what he does, a little of what Giordano did, too many minutes, too much responsibility, and then the same thing falls on Chris Russell. And then the same thing, you know, falls on their other guys, and he just is that stabilizing factor that takes care of all the tough stuff, and everybody else can just do what they're equipped to do. So without him, everybody else has to try and do more, and they're just not equipped for that. You know, they're just not. And it's. I mean, I'm not saying they'd be able to beat Anaheim with Mark Giordano in the lineup, but he's a top five defenseman on the planet, and really, a series like this would make all the difference.
Well, definitely help them, no doubt. And I'm not sure what more Calgary can do in that one. Let's move on. Darnell Nurse will be joining the team in Utica. Yeah. And I don't, you know, I know they've got, you know, five guys who have played all the games. Musil's missed some. He had a family funeral and stuff. But I got to think Darnell Nurse is going there, and he's getting right in the lineup.
Yeah, I don't know why they'd hold him out. I mean, he's playing well, he's fresh, like he's good to go. He's right in. It's not like he's been off for a couple of weeks here, so I would get him right in there. I don't know why you'd wait. He's big, he can skate, he's physical. It's not like foot speed is going to be an issue. There's really no reason to wait. And again, we're not watching every one of their games. I can't profess to know how everybody is playing, but I can't imagine they've got enough depth on that blue line where Darnell Nurse can't step in at least on a third pairing and get minutes right away.
Yeah, I would definitely hope not. And that, you know, and he'll get some practice time in because they don't play until Thursday. They play Thursday, Friday in Utica, and then they'll play Monday, Wednesday, Thursday next week at OKC, and then Game 6 and 7, if necessary, would be the following Monday, Wednesday in Utica, which is very weird because they'd have the whole weekend off, which is quite strange.
You know what I think would be good for Darnell to get into some games, and I mean, I think in watching a couple of those games on TV, you know, it's pretty clear that he's the dominant defenseman in that league. And he just, I mean, he just runs all over the place. He's up the ice, down the ice, back and forth, behind the net. He's kind of all over the map because he can afford to do that in the Ontario Hockey League. I think it'll be really good for Darnell before training camp next year to get into some games in a level that he's not used to and have to maybe dial in his game a little bit. Just kind of just put the brakes on a little bit as far as the green light all the time and the, you know, just the knowledge that he can do anything he wants and pretty much get away with it. I think it'll be good for Darnell to play a little bit higher level and to have to just rein things in a little bit, get his mind around, okay, the guys around me are better. I've got to just get back to playing solid defense, picking my spots like he did at the World Junior level. I think it's really good he's going to have a chance to do that at the end of this year rather than finishing up with the Sioux and then hitting training camp next year. I think this will be good for him to get some games in and to dial it in and really have him thinking about that over the summer.
Yeah, there's no doubt that going to the next level is always a challenge for every player and should be good for him. Moving on to the Dubnyk and the Wild taking on the Chicago Blackhawks, Ryan. You know, the Hawks, like, that's been a pretty close series. I thought Minnesota had long stretches where they controlled the game, but, man, they would make some big errors, and then Chicago's transition game just killed them.
Yeah, well, they're just such a veteran team. They've just been there and done that so many times that they're a smart enough team to just sit and wait, and then they just kill them when the opportunity comes, right? They're so opportunistic. And they've got so much skill in their lineup that really, whenever that big mistake comes, whoever is out there, whether it's Sharp or whoever is out there, they've got guys that can pounce. And, you know, I mean, Minnesota's a good team. They've done well for themselves, and they're, you know, Devin's a great story this year. But this Chicago team with Patrick Kane back, I mean, really, you can put them up against just about anybody out there. That's how good I think this team is. And, you know, the Wild have come up against it here. They're just a veteran. I mean, it's like watching Anaheim and Calgary a little bit. I mean, it's different. Minnesota's got a lot more experience than the Flames do. But you watch Anaheim play and Getzlaf, Perry, and these guys, they've just been there. They know all the tricks. They know when to be patient. They know when to be opportunistic. You just can't account for experience like that. And so here you've got Gaudreau and Bennett and Monahan, these guys that have never had to do this before at this level, and they're a little wide-eyed, and they need to be convinced, you can do it too. Like, go do it. You can skate with these guys. You can play with these guys. They're having to break through that barrier. And Chicago's another team that presents that same challenge. Whoever they play, they're just so full of experience and guys that know how to get it done in the postseason, because it's different than getting it done in the regular season. But they know how to do it, and it's just showing itself game after game for the Blackhawks.
Oh, the Hawks are good. To me, though, the best series so far has been Washington and the Rangers.
That's good hockey.
Who do you like winning that series?
Yeah, good question. I mean, if Ovechkin keeps going the way he's going, it's hard to think he's not going to be. I mean, he's the best game breaker on either side, and it's hard to think he won't be able to propel them. But I just have a tough time betting against the Rangers. I think they've just got the best combination of defense and goaltending in the league. And I just know at playoff time, when it comes down to it over the long stretch, that's, I would rely more on their ability to defend and his ability to stop pucks than I would on Ovechkin's ability to produce at that high a level. I mean, there have been times in this series where he's the only one going, and they need more than that. They've got some good young players. They come and go a little bit because Netsoff's been really good. But I think I'd still go with the Rangers just because that combination of defense and goaltending is as good as there is. How about you? You think Washington finally breaks through?
Well, I think Holtby's that good in goal for Washington the way he's played this year. I really like Washington's puck moving. If the Rangers' top gunners, like Ovechkin's that dangerous in a low-scoring series the way it's been, I do think that, you know, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Backstrom can be the difference. Like, you need all three of them going, of course. But right now, I think Washington's top guys are more dangerous than New York's.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure they are. I mean, I'm just looking through the standings here, looking for a Ranger in the top of the scoring charts, and you got to go down a long ways before you're hitting any New York Rangers. Looks like the first one is all the way down at, is it Derek Brassard? Am I seeing this properly? So, like, they don't have the big, I mean, Rick Nash produced so well for them, but they don't have their big gunners really gunning. And Washington, they've got that game breaker. And so in a tight series, like you say, you never know. But I just can't help but think that they're going to be able to dial it in a little bit more, a little bit better. They've made some mistakes against Ovechkin that I think are going to sting them and they're going to be pissed off about. And I think they're going to tighten it up a little bit. I still think the Rangers, I mean, I picked the Rangers to come out of the East. I still think that combination of defense and goaltending is good enough to get through anybody.
Montreal have a hope against Tampa?
Oh, boy. What a sideshow, too, hey? Can you believe this stuff from Prust? Like, he just turned this all into a big sideshow. I thought it was – I mean, I like Brandon Prust. He's an honest player, and I've always respected the way he plays. But, holy smokes, like, you're not a good enough player to be drawing that much attention on yourself. Like, just be quiet. You know, at the same time, I thought that whatever the ref said on the ice was ridiculous. You know, you don't chase a grown man around chastising him on national television. Like, the ref needs to shut up, too. Like, if you want to give him a 10, fine, do it. Do you think he deserves it? Fine, do it. But to give him a chastising like you're his babysitter, I thought that was embarrassing. And I think he needs to be chastised for doing it. But I don't think that Brandon Prust should have gone as public as he did. I think he just shining the spotlight on himself, causing a distraction. Now it's a bit of a sideshow. The Habs have enough to deal with. I didn't like it from either side, but I really didn't like Prust being so public. What did you think?
Well, I don't like the tattletale thing from Brandon Prust. Clearly he's frustrated. And if the ref said what Prust accused him of saying, then the NHL should look at it. The thing, and I talked about it off the top of the show, Brandon Prust is either an evil genius or just a tattletale. Maybe he says, okay, we got to get the focus off our team because our penalty killing is atrocious right now.
Yeah.
Like Tampa, and he's part of the penalty kill. So because his penalty and what the official said to him had no bearing on the game. Like the game was over, right? So it's maybe he's trying to cause a distraction, maybe, or, you know, he's just frustrated. And it the officials, it's a tough job. I get it. But you know what? It's a give and take, and most officials I've talked to, you know, and I've talked to many of them over years, they say, hey, and many of them have had heated conversations with guys where you don't let, there's certain things you can say, and guys accept the bleep you kind of thing, right? As long as it's not personal about that, because that's not considered really personal by a lot of the officials. It's, you know, it's an F-bomb that really doesn't mean a whole bunch. So I don't know, you know, I'd like to know, what did Prust say to the ref to get him to supposedly say that, right?
You'd always, for sure.
That's always part of it. I think both sides are wrong. I think Brandon Prust will get fined, but I would hope the NHL would at least look into the accusations.
I think so. I mean, I don't know who's around. Like, can you talk to the guy who was sitting in the penalty box that Prust went and sat in? I don't know if you asked that guy if he heard or if he can maybe corroborate the story. Maybe you go to CBC and see if they have the footage from, I think they normally have a camera. I don't know if the penalty bench cameras have audio or not. So I don't know if there's a way to corroborate it, but I just didn't like the look of it. I mean, regardless of what was said, I mean, he's clearly ripping into him, pointing at him, you know, then he's making the chirping sign as he's waving players off because he doesn't want to talk to them. Like, it was just, I get that it's a big stage and it's, you know, Brandon Prust is probably a frustrating player and he kind of embarrassed Braden Coburn. And it was just, the ref probably felt the obligation to get this player under control, but you just got to be deadly and silent. Like a parent, right? Like when your parents go silent, that's when you really start to worry. So, I mean, the ref probably should have just thrown the 10 at him faster and just kept his mouth shut. Just throw the misconduct, just be quiet, give him the misconduct. Don't want to hurt him. I mean, give him two front sportsmen. Like, just find a way to hurt him and teach him a lesson. But to make such a show of, like, chastising him and ripping into him and, like, you're giving him what for, it just, I don't like it. I don't like it. I think it, you know, Prust said he wants to play God out there. And judging from what I saw, it looked like maybe there's something to that.
Quickly, Shagar, when do you expect a coaching decision from the Edmonton owners?
Yeah, good question. I heard Bobby Mack talking today about how it probably won't be long for Babcock to get some ducks in a row and figure out what he wants to do. And I mean, honestly, the coaching decision will come as soon as Babcock's ready to make a decision. I think the dominoes will be quick to fall. I think that Mike Babcock will have first dibs on the owner job. If they can figure out a way to make it work, it's him. If not, I think they set sights immediately on Todd McClellan and find a way to get that done as quick as possible, if Todd's willing to do it, if they haven't already talked to him. So I think it'll be shortly after Mike Babcock decides what he's doing. If he parts ways with Detroit, Detroit's good with letting him talk to whoever, and it sounds like that'll happen reasonably quickly, then I think the dominoes will fall quickly for the Oilers. I don't think they want to draw this out a month and a half. I think there's lots of teams that need a coach, and the Oilers don't want to be left standing on the dance floor.
Yep.
I think they need to just get it done quickly, and I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Babcock in Detroit, I don't think you need more than a week at most for them to know what he's going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think they traveled over to Europe together, didn't they? He and Kenny Holland?
Yes.
So they're spending time together. They're probably hashing it out. Mike's probably got to talk to the family again and figure out what they want to do as a family. But really, once Babcock makes his decision, I'm not saying that McClellan automatically comes to Edmonton. I mean, heck, the Detroit Red Wings might want to hire him. There's other teams out there. I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers need a guy. There's teams that need coaches. And maybe they still need to wait and see what's happening with Tippett. But I think they would probably try and turn those stones over real quick and get something done sooner rather than later, because you don't want to let this go and then end up with, you know, someone that maybe you're settling on rather than being aggressive with the assets you have. They're an attractive place to come coach right now. Strike while the iron's hot.
And the New Jersey Devils with Shiro announces their GM today. That's another team. They've got two co-coaches. I don't think that's going to remain the same. So
no.
We'll see what he does.
Do you think they're going to waste any time?
No.
I mean, look, everyone's going to be on this quickly. The guys that a lot of people want are going to be available right away here, and everyone's going to be trying to act quickly on it. And so I think the Oilers would be wise to be as quick as possible. Like, coaches are going to want to talk to them. They're going to want to hear what they have to say. So I think they're going to have the luxury of guys will be willing to wait a little bit for them, but just don't drag it out. Get it done.
Have a good one, Shocker. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, pal. Take it easy.